You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
To New Wisco Weekend, I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Do fruits and vegetables get the yum or the yuck response in your home? And are you and your family even getting close to the recommended servings each day? We decided to tackle all of this once we learned that May is National Salad Month. Of course, salads can be a great way to get what the American Heart Association suggests should be 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. And if you want fresh, especially now, you might want to consider partnering with a local farmer through a community-supported agriculture program. A CSA is like a subscription to fresh food, and in this issue's cover story, Terry Barr introduces you to one man who made a surprising career change and why he now says his community-supported farm is a dream come true. That's coming up in about 20 minutes. If you really want your family to eat more healthy foods, but you're just not having any luck, Amanda Nimmer may have some tried and true suggestions for you. We also have a story about cranberries, considered a superfood thanks to the high antioxidant content, and Brittany Merlot shares why it's super for our state, too. Earlier this month, Tammy Baldwin introduced the Dairy Business Initiative Act, and we have that story, as well as stories on a tick study and watching out for certain road riders. Is the sport of lacrosse seeing a growth spurt in Wisconsin? Well, our Conrad Krieger gives us a look, and Pete Schwabba has his classic cinema pick of the week. Later, the musical duo called Jupiter Lynx. Now, since we're looking at fruits and veggies this week, we're opening this issue of New Wisco Weekend with a story from Civic Media's Joanne Krulatz on the best ways to prevent food waste.
The DNR's 2020 to 2021 statewide waste characterization study found that wasted food was the largest component of trash in Wisconsin. Wasted food is defined as edible food thrown away before it is eaten or because it is spoiled. When food scraps like banana peels were included, approximately 854,000 tons of food waste and scraps, or 294 pounds per Wisconsinite, were sent to the state's landfills in 2020. When food waste breaks down in landfills, it produces methane, a potent greenhouse gas. Households contribute heavily to this, with food waste making up 30% of residential trash. A 2020 study by Penn State University estimated households lose $1,866 a year on food that's thrown out. Here are some tips to consider in order to prevent and reduce food waste at home. Understand date labels and when food items are actually unsafe. Date labels are not regulated by federal law and do not indicate food safety, with the exception of infant formula. Manufacturers provide dates to help consumers and retailers decide when food is of peak quality. The U.S. Department of Agriculture advises consumers to examine foods to determine if the quality is sufficient for use. Relying on your eyes and an old-fashioned sniff test can be a better indicator of whether food is good to eat and help you avoid disposing of healthy and safe food. Shop with a plan and prepare for gatherings. Buying more food than what is needed often leads to more food waste. You can reduce this problem by taking inventory of what you already have, planning meals, and making detailed shopping lists. Store food to extend its life. Proper food storage can reduce waste and save the time and money associated with additional grocery store runs. Freeze before you toss. Consider popping your leftovers and surplus ingredients in the freezer before it's too late. Freezing food is like hitting the pause button and preserving it until you are ready to eat it. Extra eggs can be removed from their shells and frozen. Vegetable scraps, extra meat, and bones can be frozen and used later for soup stock. For more details and additional tips, visit the DNR's Reducing Food Waste at Home webpage.
Lacrosse is gaining popularity throughout Wisconsin. New Wisco Weekend's Conrad Krieger tells us a little more about it.
Rich Thompson from Bay Valley Lacrosse Conference and also the Pulaski High School lacrosse coach shares how he helped start lacrosse programs in New Wisco.
I helped found Kimberly program, and then I also founded the Pulaski program. It takes a lot to get that started. Like for Pulaski, we did learn to play clinics for 2 years. So we would sit up, we'd bring goals. Literally, you were explaining just the basics to them. And actually, I find that basketball is the easiest sport to compare it to. I know a lot of people will talk about hockey or football and stuff because people are wearing pads. But if you think about it, basketball, you have a backboard in your back. Same thing in lacrosse. We have a goal in the back, right? So a lot of the offensive concepts, pick and roll, screens, things like that, come right out of basketball. I use as a coach, a lot of my terminology and stuff is very similar to what you'd find in basketball.
So what was Rich's plan to build up lacrosse in northeastern Wisconsin?
We started it at the youth level and then build it. Then we got a high school program at Kimberly. And then when I moved up to Pulaski, then we started building it at the Pulaski level. Now we have a high school team. We're in the second year of our varsity program. You know,
in the sport, lacrosse offers a wide variety of positions for any players to try.
So that's one of the great parts about lacrosse is that if you're a large player, maybe you're not the fastest player, we have defensive spots you can play, right? Where it's physical, that's you know, it's right in front of the crease. That's where you're going to do some of the body checking and stuff. That's where you're going to move, usher people out to the islands and things like that. If you're really fast, then you might be one of those middies or attack guys that can take the ball up the field, be looking to feed the crease and be looking to feed goals and things like that. So both bigger sizes, smaller sizes, fast and slow, we have a spot for you on the lacrosse field.
It wasn't easy for Rich to get lacrosse as an official WIAA sport. He shares what the early days were like to having a state championship.
Into the games, we would bring the tables, we would bring the cones, the goals. I mean, you felt like you were a mover bringing all this stuff every single time. But now the WIAA has taken on lacrosse. So the last 2 years, it's been a WIAA sport. We have our state championships down in Sun Prairie at their beautiful facility down there. And it was a phenomenal experience last year to have the first WIAA state championship. So our Bay Valley, the schools that are in it currently, Nina has a team, Appleton, Kimberly, up in the Green Bay area, De Pere, Notre Dame, Bayport, Pulaski, Oneida, and then in central Wisconsin, Wausau has a team. Stevens Point used to have a youth team, and they still do have a youth team. And now they're going to add it next year. So we hope Stevens Point will. So essentially anything above like the Sheboygan Fond du Lac line in northeast Wisconsin, we say is part of the Bay Valley.
Lacrosse takes action in the spring and is another way to take activity after those cold winter months.
What we do is a lot of times we'll have practices on different days than baseball to give kids the opportunity to try both sports. With lacrosse, you are constantly up and down the field. It's just like hockey, where the ball is either going towards one goal or to the other goal. You have body checking. You have scoring goals. Everybody likes to score the goal. I reffed a game yesterday, and we had a brand new player. He scored a last second goal. His team mobbed him after the game. Right. I thought, how great is that? This is his first season. It's a good opportunity. Like a lot of times, maybe baseball didn't work out for him. Maybe they're not the best at hitting the ball or something. This gives him another opportunity in spring to play a sport.
That was Rich Thompson from the Bay Valley Lacrosse Conference and also the Pulaski High School Lacrosse Coach. For New Wisco Weekend Sports, I'm Conrad Krieger.
We hope you have a great New Wisco Weekend. Thanks for listening in on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 and 96.5 WISS. And of course, the Civic Media app.
I will not eat a blueberry. My son will not eat onions. So how do you get picky eaters to eat their fruits and vegetables? Here's New Wisco Weekend commentator Amanda Nimmer.
It's no secret. Kids hate eating vegetables, and I can't really blame them. For us adults, it sometimes can be hard too, because the flavors are never consistent. Sometimes it's hard figuring out if it's ripe, if it's overripe. Did you cook it long enough? Like, it's just not consistent, and kids like consistency, which is why they go for the stuff that's not vegetables or fruit. So me, as a parent, knowing that my children have to eat vegetables, have found a couple different ways that I can sneak them in some way, some shape, and or form. I've had to learn these skills over the years because my late husband was an insanely picky eater. Like, he wouldn't even touch onions. I had to hide onions. And the tip there is cutting them as small as possible, almost mush, and putting them into sauces and stuff that he just cannot figure out. Had to do the same when I was raising my brother. So take what I have learned out of desperate attempts to try to eat something at least somewhat healthy, and hopefully it'll work for your picky eaters. And just like the onions, as I mentioned, you can do it with almost any vegetable. Puree it, put it in some sauce. They're not gonna freaking know. To them, it's just sauce. They can't see it. The consistency isn't necessarily there. And a lot of people do that with spaghetti sauce. They puree up broccoli or onions, zucchini, what have you. They blend it up, throw it in the sauce, and it's all good to go. The best way that I have found for my children, at the very least, has been by buying food that has vegetables already mixed into it, so they don't know the difference. Here's a few brands just off the top of my head. So you got Nutri-Grain bars, which are those soft baked breakfast bars, you know. They have an apple and carrot one and a mixed berry beet one. Give them to my kids. They have no idea. They can't taste the difference. If your kids love tater tots, Green Giant makes veggie tots. There's zucchini ones with cheese, sweet potato. Heck, they even got broccoli and cheese ones shaped like dinosaurs. Now, those didn't work on my children, but they also don't really like tater tots. So that's probably why. If your child is younger and definitely cannot read, Happy Tot makes these fiber and protein bars that have a whole bunch of vegetables in them. I mean, spinach, lentil, and others. And then there's Sprout that makes these little curls. They're like, you know, puffy Cheetos, but they have broccoli and cheese in them. And almost every single parent knows about veggie straws. They come in different flavors, zesty ranch, barbecue, sea salt. They come in straws or chip form. And they're actually not half bad. And don't forget, you can puree more than just savory sauces. Think of the sweet stuff. That Go-Go Squeeze applesauce makes fruit and veggie applesauce. And your kids are none the wiser. You can get Veggie Craft Rotini at Pick and Save, $2.49 a box. Made with peas, lentils, cauliflower. Throw some sauce on that bad boy, they're not gonna know. And yes, I buy V8 Splash. I understand that it's mostly fruit juice, but there is a little bit of vegetables in there. And I'm gonna take that little bit and make it go a long way. It's impossible to get these kids to eat vegetables sometimes. I mean, surprisingly, my children love broccoli, which blows my mind because when I was a child, everyone I knew they ate carrots. Cooked carrots, candied carrots, just carrot sticks with ranch. And yet I can't get either of my children to even eat teeny little amount of carrot without a massive fight. It honestly just makes no sense. Although I have heard of some success with plain dinosaur time, a trend that's been going around on TikTok where you grab a handful of raw leafy greens or microgreens and you yell, "It's dinosaur time," and you start mowing them, chomping on them raw. It's a trend that aims to make it easier and a little bit more appealing to get more vegetables, particularly greens, into your diet. And I've been hearing it's quite successful among children. Perhaps I need to try this. But for your adult picky eaters, the best advice I have for you is to slice it up small and hope they don't notice. I'm the only person in my house that likes mushrooms. And you know what? Damn it, I want mushrooms in my dinner once in a while. And if they do notice, guess what? They can pick them out. Deal with it. Okay? Because sometimes I'm making dinner for me and not for them. Best of luck in your picky eater adventures, friends. From New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer. And there you go.
Just ahead, more New Wisco Weekend, including the classic cinema pick of the week.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
This is New Wisco Weekend on your local Civic Media radio stations, WGBW and WISS. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. It's Salad Month. Monday is World Plant a Garden Day, and Eat Your Fruits and Veggies Day is May 24th, so there's no better time to add more fresh, healthy produce to your plate. What tops the list? According to Healthline, avocados and all types of berries are the best fruits, and on the veggie list, we have dark leafy greens and broccoli with the most vitamins and minerals. Enjoy! Here's Pete Schwabba's classic movie pick of the week.
Thank you. New Wisco Weekend presents Pete Schwabba's Classic Movie Pick of the Week.
This week's classic movie pick is an edgy, erotic crime thriller that takes us back to 1996. Bound was the Wachowski siblings' first film and the one that put them on the map as filmmakers. The film stars Gina Gershon, Jennifer Tilly, and Joe Pantoliano, and a young Christopher Maloney. Gershon plays Corky, a lesbian ex-con who was hired to paint an apartment which happens to be right next to a gangster and his girlfriend's place. Tilly plays Violet, who develops a secret crush on Corky behind her boyfriend Caesar's back. Caesar is played by Joe Pantoliano. Pantoliano has played a lot of gangsters over his career, and there's a reason. He's very good at it. Corky tries to help Violet escape her abusive situation with Caesar, and the two women fall in love in the process and start a torrid affair right under Caesar's nose.
I had to see you.
Look, I don't think this is a good idea.
I wanted to apologize.
Please, don't apologize. There's one thing I can't stand is women who apologize for wanting sex.
I'm not apologizing for what I did. I'm apologizing for what I didn't do.
Corky and Violet escalate the situation by deciding to steal $2 million that Caesar is trying to keep safe for his mob boss. The two women set a trap and try to blame the missing funds on Maloney's character Johnny, who is also the boss's son. You might know Maloney as Elliot Stabler from the Law & Order franchise. In Bound, our protagonist's plan backfires a bit, and therein lies the fun, as it will keep you on the edge of your seat. The Wachowski siblings received lots of critical praise for Bound. They were applauded for making a mainstream film with the same-sex relationship that was not central to the plot. The success they experienced making this film led them to be able to make the wildly successful Matrix franchise, V for Vendetta, and Speed Racer. The Wachowskis' real lives are almost as interesting as their silver screen creations. The siblings were Larry and Andy when they started their movie careers, but now both identify as trans women, Lana and Lily. They are steadfast in their conviction when it comes to their art and have reputations as those who do not compromise. One of their first gigs was writing the original script for Assassins, a 1994 film starring Antonio Banderas. The Wachowskis were replaced by other writers, which is common, but they were so displeased with how the script turned out, they asked to have their names taken off of it. That takes major guts for 220-somethings trying to break into the business. Some fun movie facts around the production include the Wachowskis telling Joe Pantoliano to watch The Treasure of the Sierra Madre and model his performance after Humphrey Bogart. As it turns out, the Wachowskis were fortunate to cast two solid actresses like Tilly and Gershon. Due to the risque nature of the roles, they had trouble getting interest from well-known actresses, especially since they were first-time directors. Despite iconic roles in The Sopranos, Risky Business, and The Matrix, Joe Pantoliano lists Caesar, the first lead film role of his career, as his favorite role ever. Jennifer Tilly says the same thing about the role of Violet. Gershon says she developed a sense of her character by watching actors James Dean and Clint Eastwood. Tilly and Gershon said they prepared for their intimate scenes by drinking tequila. Bound is a crackling good, intense watch, and it's this week's classic movie pick of the week. For more movie and entertainment talk, join me weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. for Nightlight here on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Pete Schwabba.
Well, she's all you'd ever want. She's the kind I'd like to flaunt and take to dinner. But she always knows her place. She's got style, she's got grace. She's a winner. She's a lady. She's a lady, talking about that little lady, and the lady is mine.
For the 30th straight year in a row, Wisconsin is once again the top cranberry producer. New Wisco Weekend's meteorologist Brittany Merlot has more on that story.
Last year's yield from the state was well over 6 million barrels, which supplied over 60% of the nation's needs. And these berries are grown on more than 25,000 acres, spanning through 19 counties, with more than 250 licensed growers. And the executive director of the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association says they take pride in being stewards of this land and this legacy.
And you know, we'd go into the classrooms and we teach about time for cranberries, because in Wisconsin, a lot of our children and a lot of adults really haven't eaten fresh cranberries. And so, you know, it's all about teaching and learning and our cultural history. And what a better way to do it than through taste and touch.
That's Sheila Everhart from Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism. She was on Civic Media's Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Cranberries support nearly 4,000 jobs and contribute to nearly $1 billion annually to the state's economy. Wood County led the state's cranberry production last year with over 1.8 million barrels, which is roughly 30% of the state's total output. Monroe County wasn't far behind with 1.09 million barrels at almost 18%. Juneau and Jackson counties put out percentages in the mid-teens, and Vilas County rounded out the top five at about 5%. And the 2025 growing season starts right now, while harvesting takes place in the fall from September through early November.
Most of the cranberries are made into cranberry juices and craisins, but we have an abundance of fresh cranberries.
And can you believe that only 5% of the crop is sold fresh? And that's usually during the holiday season. From the Cranberry Capital, for Civic Media News, I'm Brittany Merlot. And the lady is mine.
Since the weather's warming up and we're getting outside more to plant gardens or whatnot, if you see more ticks, the Marshfield Clinic wants you to mail them in. Here's Melissa Kay with that story.
This is the second year of the tick inventory via Citizen Science, aka TICS. This is an effort to identify the ticks that are being found in Wisconsin. Researchers will use the information to assess the risks of encountering a tick-borne disease, also who is being exposed and diagnosed with these tick-borne diseases. Last year, over 6,000 ticks were sent in from nearly every county in Wisconsin. More than 70% were the American dogwood tick, and most of the rest were the deer or black-legged tick. Deer ticks have a greater likelihood of carrying illnesses like Lyme disease. Their smaller size increases the difficulty of finding them and the importance of checking for ticks after being in wooded or brushy areas. The Lone Star tick has also been found, as well as the brown dog ticks. Previously, these ticks were found in warmer climates, but are now being spotted here. They spread diseases such as Alpha-Gal syndrome, also known as the meat allergy, and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. You can request your tick collection kit by emailing tics@marshfieldclinic.org or by calling 715-389-7796. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Melissa Kay. She's a lady.
Oh, 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 she's a lady. Still ahead on New Wisco Weekend, we flip the page to our cover story.
Bye. Your food and know where the food came from. You're having a closer relationship with the farmer, a closer relationship with the food, and you're able to embody that healthier lifestyle for those family members and loved ones that you want to thrive. So that's such a beautiful, beautiful place to be, is with a farm that producing food in the way that you want it to be done.
One farmer's story as we learn more about community-supported agriculture. We're back right after the news. Thank you for being a part of New Wisco Weekend on WISS and WGBW. I'm your host, Lisa Hale. There are dozens of CSAs across the state, and the idea only continues to grow. They're community-supported agriculture, and it provides economic support to small farmers, while you, as a subscriber, enjoy fresh local products. Our Terry Barr introduces us to one CSA farmer from the Fox Cities. He wants you to know where all of your food is coming from, and how he got to this point may surprise you. Here's Terry.
I want to start this segment with a question. If you would leave a stable job to become a farmer, could you, would you actually do this? I love the opportunity to learn more about this because Justin Duell, who is with me today, started the G Farm, and he's going to tell us all about his journey to become a farmer. Justin, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Terry. Very happy to be with you. Thank you.
I don't know how many people would do what you have done. Why did you decide you were done with the corporate world and you wanted to farm?
There's a lot to it, and it was really encompassing about me wanting to have a wholesome life and family and to provide for them good, healthy food. If I was going to put my efforts into growing something, I felt that a small farm was exactly what I wanted to do.
And you started this in, you know, kind of the journey in 2014. Are you still happy you did it?
Most of the time, yes. When things are going well, there's always the bump in the road that gets you questioning something. But it's really awesome. And I thrive in the chaos of the farm, especially this time of the year when there's a lot going on, a lot getting planted. And I'm happy to be on the path that I am.
Tell us a little bit about your farm. You are outside of the Appleton area.
Yeah, I'm about 20 minutes west of Appleton, Neenah. I was looking for a property that fit my need and fit my budget, and this property kind of popped up. A lot of the fill, the soils on the farm, were put underneath the highway that we're on the frontage road of. The value of the property to most farmers was lower because a lot of the soil was degraded, and I call it like glacial subsoils. It was not the quality that most people would be looking for. So now 10 years in, I've got soil test results to show that progress has been made.
That's wonderful. Congratulations. You are part of a CSA. For those who don't know what a CSA is, can you explain it and then tell us a little bit about how you are part of it with your farm?
CSA is an acronym for Community Supported Agriculture. Most often it is seen in the light of a vegetable production. A farm would plant and plan for 18 to 22 weeks harvested from the farm and then brought directly to either drop sites or sometimes directly to the customers, or sometimes they come to the farm if it's close enough to the city, right? What it helps the farmer with is getting those funds up front to help when the costs are greatest and to plan and make production for the specific amount of families that they're looking to serve.
Now, you do some things that I think people love. You know, you've got maple syrup, you have honey and jam, but you've also kind of flipped the script on the, as you described, typical CSA, because you are offering the community the opportunity to get meat. How does right. this work?
That is where we differ. We are a meat CSA is what we offer, and our meat subscription consists of beef, pork, chicken, but sometimes turkey. And just in having meat production on the farm is very different from veg. We have to plan year round for monthly deliveries. So it's the same concept. I should let you know, I did do 1 year of a vegetable CSA. We did an 18 week, and I think that we had about 15 families that we served. It was enough. And that's kind of where that ball started getting rolling into eventually the meat CSA that we're in now.
It's so different than going in the grocery store. And a lot of times you don't know where the food came from.
I'm catering to people who are interested in it. And when they find a good source and have the background and history that we've had where it can be read and digested that way, people are just thrilled to know the story that goes along with it, along with the management style. So, you know, people are elated to find us when they do. And people that have been part of our CSA, I mean, 7 years for some of them, they don't leave often. They're happy with our services and our products and why we're able to continue to grow.
I'm talking with Justin Duell. He is the owner of the G Farm, about 20 miles outside of Appleton. What does that mean to you when you hear from people, my food is coming from you? And that is important to that person.
And maybe I'm jaded because I've been doing it for a while, but it's a warm feeling. And I do hear people say that. And maybe earlier on, like I absorbed it a little bit more. Maybe I heard it a little bit less, but it is very fulfilling. And that's where in my past job, being in an office at an office desk, that I didn't have those same feelings about how life was being paid for. You know, like it is very different. It is fulfilling on many levels that where money can't be spent to buy that happiness.
I love that. The happiness says it all, doesn't it? Yeah. Wow. How often do you tell people or kind of have to describe the idea of knowing where your food comes from?
I blog. I do it weekly. I've done that for 8 or so years. And it's just a connection point where I'm able to express something that's happening on the farm or something that I've seen in the news that is relevant to how food is produced. So those concepts are shared as often as I can to as many people as I can. I think that the world would be better with more small farmers. In order to have more small farmers, we need more people that are willing to follow the inconvenience of doing business with a small farm, because it is not the same as going to the grocery store. It is an extra step, and those that are willing are rewarded with healthier food.
when someone actually says to you, you are making a difference for them, how does that make you feel?
You just want me to tear up here today. No, it's awesome. I'm really fulfilled. I know that people are happy with what we're doing. I do hear it. Where I see it most often, it's not someone that's like always right across the counter from me when we're at checkout in our farm store or something. It's someone that follows up with an email, like gives me their heartfelt story. It's self-fulfilling that way. You know, like I wanted to do this, and then to know that people are on board, that makes me feel more excited because I knew that there was a good reason that I did this in the first place.
For people that hear this and want to check out what you have to offer, see your blog, all of it, where can they find this?
Our website is the best place to get in touch. It is www.theg.farm. So theg.farm.
Do you get people that maybe come out and are curious about it, but they're not sure yet if they want to be part of a CSA?
The CSA is not for everyone. It is for people who have a little bit more of a willingness to have some culinary experimental, you know, like trying new things that has to be innate to them. They have to prepare it differently and understand that it's not the same as all of the other pieces of product or items coming from the grocery store. Sometimes you might have a bug on it. One of my favorite persons in orcharding, Eliza Greenman, she talks about eating ugly apples and to understand that eating an ugly apple is allowing not putting pesticides on it, and therefore it is going to come out not 100% crisp and red. It's going to have some imperfections, and to be happy with that and to understand that that is good. Buy your food and know where the food came from. You're having a closer relationship with the farmer, a closer relationship with the food, and you're able to embody that healthier lifestyle for those family members and loved ones that you want to thrive. So that's such a beautiful, beautiful place to be is with a farm that's producing food in the way that you want it to be done. So yes, we're happy to be there for people. And we encourage anyone to find a small farmer and give them the ability to make the living on the farm just the same.
Justin Duell, owner of the G Farm, thank you so much. I've learned so much from you today.
Awesome. Thank you, Terry. It was wonderful to be a part of this.
It's another New Wisco Weekend on 98.3 and 96.5 WISS and 97.9 WGBW.
Wisconsin Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin and Republican Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee have introduced the Dairy Business Innovation Act. It's designed to strengthen initiatives and help more producers and processors add value to their businesses. Baldwin says dairy producers in Wisconsin and across the country are facing challenges.
Throughout my time in Congress, I've worked hard to help them meet the challenges that they face. And look, right now, they face some pretty steep challenges. I hear from folks about how increased input costs are stretching their thin budgets and how lack of market access and workforce issues are all impacting folks' bottom line.
Baldwin says the dairy business initiatives have already helped hundreds of producers and processors improve.
To date, more than 250 farmers and processors in the Midwest have benefited from the Dairy Business Innovation Initiative. One of my favorite parts of being a United States Senator is seeing how these small grants can help our dairy farmers take their businesses to new heights. I visited Royal Guernsey Creamery, where I saw how they used a grant to launch a new processing venture, making butter with milk from their farm.
She claims the Dairy Business Innovation Act will ensure these opportunities continue in the future.
This bipartisan legislation will make sure that this program is up and running in the years to come, and it gives a boost to its funding. In years past, getting this program into law and then getting the funding to support it was bipartisan. And I expect it to be the same this year, too. And our agricultural industry relies on it.
The new legislation would increase the program's annual funding from $20 million to $36 million. A companion to the bipartisan bill has been introduced in the House as well. With the warmer weather, more farm vehicles are on the roads, as are more motorcycles and bicyclists. Joanne Krulatz reports on the Wisconsin State Patrol Law of the Month.
The Wisconsin State Patrol's May Law of the Month advises drivers to share the road and be mindful of other road users that may be less visible or traveling at slower speeds. Follow these general safety tips to share the road. Look twice for others and use turn signals to help everyone anticipate your movements. Watch your speed and follow the rules of the road. Never drive or ride impaired. Avoid distractions. Buckle up, phone down, every trip, every time, and stay alert and scan for potential hazards on the road. There are roughly 2,000 crashes involving motorcycles every year in Wisconsin. Preliminary data show 102 motorcyclists were killed and 1,805 were hurt in crashes in 2024. Motorcycles are smaller than the average vehicle, so they can be harder to see. Drivers are encouraged to look twice, especially when pulling out from a stop sign, turning left, or changing lanes, and to keep a safe following distance to avoid a collision. Motorcyclists can also do their part to be visible and follow safe riding practices. Ride defensively and scan the road ahead for gravel and sand. Staggered riding is suggested for multiple motorcycles. Protective high visibility, clothing, and safety gear is recommended. State law requires headlamps to be on at all times. Helmets are strongly encouraged for all riders and required by state law for those under 18. According to preliminary data, there were 894 crashes involving bicycles last year, up 22% from the five-year average. 8 bicyclists were killed and 787 were hurt in those crashes. Drivers need to be cautious and stay at least 3 feet from a bicycle to help prevent crashes. Bicycles and motorcycles are considered vehicles on Wisconsin's roads and are required to follow the same traffic laws as the average vehicle. This includes electric bikes. Additional safety tips for bicyclists include stay visible and be sure to use lights at night. Be aware of your surroundings, especially when changing lanes. Watch for opening car doors and wear protective gear, including a helmet. Another thing to be mindful of this spring is the return of farm vehicles on the roads. There have been more than 2,000 crashes involving farm vehicles in Wisconsin in the past 5 years, including 429 in 2024, according to preliminary data. Farm vehicles travel at much slower speeds than the average vehicle. Drivers should be scanning the road ahead and be prepared to slow down when approaching and traveling near farm vehicles. Be patient and cautious if you decide to pass. In Wisconsin, it is unlawful to pass an agricultural vehicle in a no-passing zone. Farm vehicle operators should stay as far to the right as safely possible and follow all lighting and marking requirements for farm vehicles. The State Patrol encourages anyone using Wisconsin's roads to check with local municipality for rules regarding other types of vehicles, including one wheels, electric skateboards, and scooters. From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
Coming up next on New Wisco Weekend, our musical guest, Jupiter Lynx. Keep it here.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale. Our musical guests this week recently appeared on Civic Media's Mino and the Mayor show and wowed us with their stories and their music. Here's a bit of the interview and the performance from Jupiter Lynx.
We've got Jerry Frisk and Lindsay Johnson. Welcome.
Thank you for having us. We're glad to be here.
We've got to ask, Jupiter Lynx, that's an awesome name. Who's taking credit?
Oh, boy.
My husband. So we wanted something unique. And I mean, everything I came up with is kind of generic. Mm-hmm. And Jerry's like, I want something powerful. It's punchy and different. I'm like, okay. And then we started to think, okay, his name starts with a J. My name starts with an L. And we're like, all right, what's something we like? And we came up with something weird. And Jerry was saying no to everything I was suggesting. And then my husband was in the car and he's like, how about Jupiter Lynx? And I'm like,
really?
That sounds really cool.
And it's like, once he said it,
yeah.
Game over.
And I texted it to him.
Yeah,
the first thing he was like, okay.
Because I was into this, at the time, I was into this like
planet thing. I don't know why.
Oh.
And that's how we came. Yeah.
Part of- How's the music industry treating you here in Green Bay? Tell me your...
Yeah, it's been going really well. I mean, we're really just starting to break into Green Bay a little bit more lately this past year. You know, it took us a while. We were like everywhere outside of Green Bay is where we could get booked because we really are going off of nothing. We just, you know, had a few... home recordings, things like that, we're sharing with people, and people just had to give us a shot, and they did. And so having a few people give us a shot without knowing much about us kind of just let it spread.
Right.
And then once we got a gig locally, it's been easier to make it, you know, happen.
Right. So tell us about how you guys got started, how you guys got connected, the whole thing.
Oh, man.
These are always good backstories.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a probably really interesting
behind
one.
Behind the music.
We used to work together. Mm-hmm. Actually, I used to be your boss.
Yeah. Really?
And,
what kind of business?
I worked at a building materials place.
Oh, just drop the name.
In De Pere. It's Builder's First Source in De Pere.
Oh, sure. Cool.
But yeah, I was her boss. And how long did you work there, Lindsay? Not real long.
Not super. It wasn't my thing. I love the place, love Jerry, but just I'm a creative mind. I needed to do something a little different. Okay, but
one day I was up at the copy machine and there was another gentleman that used to work with me that played in a band in Florida, and him and I would always talk music. And Lindsay kind of sat next to him, and she looked at me and she goes, "Will you play in a band?" I said, "Well, I've been doing it for years, long, long time." But at the time, the last band I was in fell apart when COVID hit. Mm-hmm. And I said, "But I was thinking about doing an acoustic thing by myself." And she said, "Well," she wanted to get into something, and it kind of just took off from there. And then she sent me like three recordings on my phone that next weekend. And I listened to him, and it kind of just, it took off from there.
So I had no idea what he sounded like at that point. So he only knew what I sounded like. Yeah. But I was a single mom of three for a really long time. And so I just couldn't get into music after high school. Just didn't have the time. And so I got to a point, now I'm, you know, remarried and my kids are older. And I met Jerry and I'm just like, all right, this is it.
Stretched out and he walked with a purpose.
In his sneakers down the street he had
many questions
like children often do. He said, "Tell me all your thoughts on God, 'cause I'd really like to meet her. Ask her why we're who we are. But tell me all your thoughts on God, 'cause I'm on my way to see her. But tell me, am I very far? Am I very far now?" "It's getting cold, pick up the pace. How our shoes make our noises in this place. Our clothes are stained. We pass many cross-eyed people and ask many questions like children often do. Tell me all your thoughts on God, 'cause I'd really like to meet her. Ask her why we're who we are. Tell me all your thoughts on God, 'cause I'm on my way to see her. Tell me, am I very far? Am I very far now? Am I very far now? Am I very far now? Ooh, 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 yeah. tell me all your thoughts on God.
All right.
Wow. That's some harmony right there.
Thank you. Yeah, a lot of people are just like, you're blind. Are you married? Nope, we're definitely not married. I could be his kid, but, you know.
This is the kind of stuff we love to sit and drink wine and listen to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The wineries are fun.
And where can people actually look at that and find that information out? Like your socials and stuff
Yeah, Facebook, literally everything is on there, a full schedule. And I'm also part of another band, and my son and I have an acoustic act, so that's on there too. So you can get everything on there.
Well, I have me a boy, turn him into a man. Showed him all the things that he didn't understand. Whoa. Then I let him go. Now there's one in California who's been cursing my name. Cause I found me a better lover in the UK. Hey. Until I made my getaway. One, two, three, they're gonna run back to me. Cause I'm the best baby that they never gonna keep. One, two, three, they're gonna.
Thanks for being a part of New Wisco Weekend. This issue, a look at fruits, veggies, and community-supported agriculture. New Wisco Weekend is produced and written by Terry Barr and Lisa Hale. Our executive producer is Todd Michaels. Directed by Lisa Hale, and our lead correspondent is Terry Barr. We have features from Conrad Krieger, Brittany Merlot, Pete Schwaba, Joanne Krulatz, and Melissa Kay, plus commentary from Amanda Nimmer. Special appearances this week by John Mino and Jim Schmidt. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS and WGBW News. Be unstoppable.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.